Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. Lord, I cry to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. If you've paid attention, the last few times that I have been in the pulpit, I've been preaching a series of what are the sacrifices that we as priests of God are to be offering. The first was the sacrifice of That was a really good sermon, wasn't it? Okay, the first sacrifice was the sacrifice of praise. Okay, let's see if we get number two. Number two sacrifice was? The sacrifice of our bodies. Okay, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. It's our reasonable service. Are we going to strike out? Three strikes make you out, right? Here we go. The third sacrifice was? Say it again. Giving. Yay, we got a hit. Woo! Yes. Okay, well, let's see if sermon number four is more readily remembered. Okay? The sacrifice we are to give is our prayer. It was described in Psalm 141 as incense. Incense. But if you look at Psalm 141, the psalmist is writing and said, let my prayer be set before you as incense. But if you go to Revelation chapter 5, you will see that there's a scroll that needs to be opened. And there's nobody that seems to be able to open the scroll until the Lion of Judah comes. And he comes as a lamb. And he takes the scroll. And after he took the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayer before God is incense. Your prayer is that sweet smelling aroma of incense. Now, it's helpful, I believe, to understand the role of incense in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament is the shadow of the reality. And in the Old Testament, we find that we have the tabernacle, and in the holy place, we have three pieces of furniture. We have the table of showbread, and we have the lampstand. And in front of the curtain, close to the veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies, is the altar of incense. The altar of incense was approximately 3 feet high and 18 inches square. And on the altar of incense at the top, it had four horns. And once a year, the high priest, before he went into the Holy of Holies with blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat, he put blood on those four horns. But the altar of incense was used every day. There was incense offered morning and evening. And the incense was fired by coals from the burnt offering offered at the altar outside the tabernacle. The priest would go out there and he would put coals in the brazier and he would bring it in and light the fire under the incense. And there was a perpetual altar sacrifice of incense. Your prayer is to be that. When you pray, you are to have the idea that your prayer is incense. So it might help us to understand something about the nature of incense. What is the nature of incense? Sweet spices. The spices listed in the scriptures, two which we don't know, state and onycha, and then galbanum and pure frankincense. We know what galbanum is and we know what frankincense is. And they are used as essential oils by people who care to use that kind of stuff. And these are to be pounded and they are to be made fine. Now, if my prayer is to be incense, then I need to be pounded. I need to be made fine. The psalmist speaks to this in Psalm 51, when he says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Are you broken? Are you broken? Your prayer can't be incense unless you're broken. You have to be ground so that the fire of God can burst through you. Have you ever considered the lamps and the pots of Gideon? That's such a beautiful image of the Christian. When Gideon and his 300 soldiers stood up and blew their trumpets, they took the pots and smashed them. Why? So the lamp could shine forth. You and I are to be those pots. The Holy Spirit is that lamp. And if we are broken, and if the Holy Spirit is active in us, our prayer becomes incense. The acceptable prayer is from a humble heart. Jesus told of two that went to the temple. The Pharisee, "Oh Lord, I am so happy I'm not like him." How many of us pray that way? How many of us are happy that we're not the drunk on Vine Street in Philadelphia? "Oh, Lord, I'm so happy I'm not him." But then there's the publican. He goes in the temple too. And completely unaware of anybody else, he sits before God and he says, "Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "Okay, who goes home righteous?" You see, brokenness is necessary for your prayer to be as incense. But there's something else necessary for your prayer to be incense, and that is it needs to be lit by the proper fire. It must be the fire kindled by the Holy Spirit. Must be. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and it's because of the Holy Spirit that we're able to call God Father. You and I cannot call God Father unless the Holy Spirit has brought us to life We were dead in trespasses and sins, and he caused us to live. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and he molds us and shapes us into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son. And then we are driven by the Holy Spirit to pray. As the fire in the Old Testament came from the altar of burnt offering to light the fire of incense, so too, it's the work of Christ at the cross that brings to us the Holy Spirit, who has given us life. And because he has given us life, we then are empowered to pray. Consider prayer. Consider incense again. It's interesting, if you look at all that God does in his worship in the Old Testament, the senses of the human being are all involved. Eyes, ears, touch, odor. And if you really think about what went on in the Old Testament worship, it was an ugly, bloody religion. It really was. They had sacrifices every day. Every day, blood was being spilt at the temple. Every day, the priests were going in and lighting the fire of incense. It was an ongoing process. But it's a shadow. Jesus Christ died once for all. We don't have a bloody worship time. Our worship time should be full of praise and joy and gladness. Why? Because the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. But our joy and gladness needs to come because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the fire that drives us to prayer. Incense is to God. Listen to what God says about his incense in the Old Testament. As for the incense which you shall not make any for yourself, according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, be shall cut off from his people. What does that tell you about prayer? It tells you that you should only and always pray to God alone. Occasionally, we have traumatic things that happen in our culture, and we hear the news media and all kinds of people say, let's pray. And I always want to stand up and say, and to which God? Always. You see, if you read the Old Testament, you'll see that incense was offered to Baal. Incense was offered to Molech. Incense was offered to other pagan gods. But it's the psalmist who understands that if we are going to offer up incense, it must be to Yahweh alone, the covenant God who creates and redeems, the covenant God who brought us out of darkness into light. And God tells his people, when he talks about the composition of incense and how to burn it, he said, it shall be to you holy for the Lord, set apart only to God. Is that your prayer? Is that how you pray? You know, Paul speaks a lot about prayer. And he says that we are to bring our prayers and petitions to God. Now, I missed something very important, didn't I? I am to bring my prayer and petitions with thanksgiving and make requests known unto God. When you pray, are your lips full of praise? Oh, that's the first sacrifice, isn't it? The sacrifice of praise, which is to be on my lips. My prayer is to be as incense, is to be full of praise and full of thanksgiving. This is a sweet savor to God. This is what God requires of us. I mentioned to you that the priest lit the fire in the morning and the evening, and the altar of incense was perpetually burning. Did you know that in the New Testament we are told that we are to pray without ceasing? So when I'm driving that tractor, am I praying? When I'm driving down the road, am I praying? When I'm cooking, am I praying? Or do I only pray in my closet? You're supposed to do that, but is that the only place I pray? How is it that we are to pray without ceasing? If our prayer is to be as incense, then it's to be a perpetual sacrifice, just like the incense in the tabernacle, in the temple. But I want to encourage you. You see, incense and prayer is not only the province of the human being. You see, Jesus Christ prays too. He intercedes for you. And he intercedes for you all the time. His intercession for you is constant. You know who else prays for you? The Holy Spirit. He intercedes for you also. So when you pray, you enter into fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with the person of Christ. Your prayer is joined with theirs as you intercede for whoever you intercede for. Lastly, we need to remember where the altar of incense was. It was before the veil. Behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, covered with the mercy seat, with cherubim on top of the mercy seat. That's a shadow. That's not the reality. What's the reality? The reality is the veil in the temple's been rent, and the veil is the flesh of Jesus Christ. The real veil is the person and the flesh of Christ. As we approach the throne of God, the mercy seat, we approach through the flesh of Christ. The writer of the Hebrews tells us this. The writer of the Hebrews says, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. When we pray, we only have access to the throne and mercy seat of God through the veil, which is the flesh of Christ. We only have access because Jesus Christ died. In his own body upon the tree, he bore our sin. So when you pray, you have a conscious understanding that the only way you can approach that mercy seat of God is because the blood of Christ covers it. And that you approach the Holy of Holies. You and I have the privilege now, because of the gospel, to do what only the high priest in the Old Testament could do. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But you and I, we can approach the Holy of Holies every day, all the time, and we're supposed to do it constantly. How's your prayer? Is your prayer life incense? Does God delight in your prayer? How many of you burn incense? I grew up in a community that was very heavily of one particular tradition, and every house that I went into that belonged to that burned incense. Every single house. You walked in the house, and the house was filled with incense. Your life is to be filled with incense. Paul tells us in Corinthians that we're to stink of Christ. We're to be an aroma of Christ. Are you? The only way that we can actually be an aroma of Christ is if our prayer is incense. Because it's incense that gives the aroma. How's your prayer life? Are you the person who gets all fired up about prayer when there's some great thing that happens, like 9/11? Or are you like Daniel, who prays habitually, who prays, and everybody knows that you pray, and everybody goes, "We'll get him. He prays to God." No. How do people know you? What's your aroma? Do you smell of Christ? I will remind you quickly that you need to be broken. You need to be humble. You need to be driven by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand that the access that you have is to the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, and the mercy seat is covered by the blood of Christ. How's your prayer life? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you that we have access to your throne of grace through the shed blood of your Son. We thank you that the veil has been ripped, and that as we approach you, we do approach the mercy seat. We thank you that we have the indwelling Spirit who enables us to open our mouth, to praise you, to give you thanks. We thank you that you bid us come boldly into your presence, bringing our prayers and petitions with thanksgiving and making our requests known unto you. We ask, Lord, that we would be an aroma of Christ, that men and women around us would know that we belong to you because of our aroma. We thank you that we look forward to the return of our King, and we ask that we would remember that we are his ambassadors. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.